The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
I almost did it back in June. I was so tempted to come on the air that day and just play the song from, what is that movie? The movie is Ding Dong, The Witch is Dead.
The Wizard of Oz?
Yes, thank you. I'm having a senior moment.
Yeah.
That's Tonya Baker Nelson in here helping me out. Yes, when Roe versus Wade went down, that's the song that came to my mind. Oh. Ding Dong, The Witch is Dead. And the witch was dead at a federal level, but now it's pushed down to the state level. And we're going to be talking about that today. Roe is dead. Now what? That's the question. What do we do? What do pregnancy resource centers do? What does the church do? What does your average Christian do? What does a voter do? And then that all depends on what state you're in. Mm-hmm. If you're here in North Carolina like we are, and you're thinking, well, certainly this is a pro-life state. Well, you're wrong in terms of the law. We allow abortions up to 20 weeks. That's dismemberment to deal with a 19-20-week gestation baby. You got to pull them apart piece by piece and drag them out. That's what that is. And that's legal here in North Carolina. And even though we have Republicans in control of both the House and the Senate, there's nothing they can do about it because of a certain individual named Governor Cooper. So we're going to be walking through all this stuff today. Tonya Baker Nelson is the founder of Hand of Hope, handofhope.net. Tonya, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm great. You too.
Yeah, well, how'd the fundraiser go? It was fun to be there and do that with you guys.
Well, thank
you. That was awesome.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate you joining us.
You're welcome.
It was wonderful. It was basically all new people. So we had some good first impressions to make. I think we made them. or we made an impression at least, right?
Yeah. You definitely made an impression.
Yes.
You always make an impression.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
No, well, not necessarily. I'm sure not everybody likes your style or my style.
Exactly. I took it as a compliment.
Yes. Well,
so I'm going to accept that as a compliment.
And Lawrence Jones from Fox News, he was great.
He was wonderful. I liked him a lot before anyway, but then when he just got up there and spoke, not a single note.
Yeah.
You know, he just spoke from the heart.
Just from the heart. Yeah.
It was great. You could tell by what he said that he was very familiar with ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And very familiar with all the inner workings, that everything that goes on behind the scenes of running a ministry. Because, you know, his dad's a preacher.
I know.
So I don't think I knew that. Like, I had kind of heard that, but I had forgotten it. And then, but listen to him talk, I was like, oh, he lives this.
It's the real deal. He's not just some talking head guy. How did you think to utilize him for your keynote speech? How'd that happen?
So I know a couple of people.
Indeed you do.
Yeah. So I think what really got the ball rolling on that was, you know, when Roe was overturned, and then a couple of days later, Jane's Revenge started attacking pregnancy centers.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the Asheville Pregnancy Center in Asheville, North Carolina, was firebombed. And so the executive director there, her name's Christy, and so he actually interviewed her.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that. So, you know, it's like our own little network of pregnancy center people are going, oh, he was great, you know. And then that pregnancy center got firebombed again.
Again, twice. Wow.
Again. Yeah. So they, you know, did the whole Jane was here, you know, if abortions aren't safe, then neither are you, in the pregnancy center up there in Asheville. So we just started looking into it right then, going, okay, hey, we need somebody who has a big platform to come on and, like, you know, really lend their voice to what we've been trying to use our little sphere of influence for years. And I was very pleased with his heart, really his, just like you said, like there was no fake in that.
Mm-mm.
He was in it, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, it was great. It was
His story. I didn't know that much of his personal story.
I didn't know either. You know, he could have easily been aborted as well in the circumstances he was born into, and His mama chose life, and, mm-hmm. and here he is talking about it later, which is great. Yep. How did you get involved in this movement in the first place? I know you have your own story. We have time for you to share.
And you want to talk about me personally?
Sure.
Or like hand of hope? Yeah.
We'll do you personally, and then we'll do hand of hope.
Do me personally. Okay. So me personally, I got involved, backing up initially was I found out what abortion was when I was about 11 years old. My parents gave me, in my mind, I kind of remember that it was like the Equal Rights Amendment was kind of a big thing going on then. And sorry, I think I'm having a hot flash.
That's all right.
Yep. Hey, that's all right. Roll with it. I'm still here, baby. So in my mind, ERA was kind of going. I remember Gloria Steinem being kind of in my mind. I mean, I might be like, confusing the
timeline. On one side of the issue, and Phyllis Schlafly was on the other side of the issue going at it.
And I remember hearing the word abortion, and I just didn't know what that was. And I remember going to my parents one time, and I said, what's abortion? Like, what is this? And so my mama gave me this handwritten note that ended up being like a diary entry, and it was about 5 or 6 pages. And it said day 1, and then day 12, and then week whatever, and it ended up being it was called the diary of an unborn child. And it really went over the gestational development, so that humanity of that preborn child became very real to me. It was very, that's how it was presented to me immediately with the abortion question. And so she said, you know, Mommy, we're going to have such a beautiful life together. Like, I met you today, or today you found out I was here. I'm going to have blonde hair and blue eyes just like you. My favorite flower is going to be a daisy. Wow. And I think that's why my favorite flower is a daisy right now. And it just went over the gestational development and just really humanizing this little baby. And the very last entry said, Mommy, we would have had such a beautiful life together. Why did you let them in my life today?
Wow, man.
And I was an 11-year-old little girl, about 11 years old, and I remember kind of storming into the living room and holding this up.
Yeah.
And I remember going like, what is this?
Right. And that was the appropriate response, because when you're young like that, you're not thinking politically. You don't have all these outside influences. You just look at that in its raw form and you go, this is radically wrong. This is horrific. What in the world? I can't believe we even do this. We're here with Tonya Baker Nelson. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. My sister in Christ is here today, Tonya Baker Nelson. She's the founder and runs Hand of Hope down in... All right, so us Northerners, us Midwesterners. First time I heard...
The name of my sweet
Fuquay Varina. Yeah. I'm like, is it Fuquay, like F-E-W? Is it Fuquay, like Foo Fighters, F-O-O? I get so confused down here in the South, even though we moved down here in 1997. So what is it officially?
Officially, I am a native. Officially, I'm a native. So it is few as in not very many.
F-E-W. Fuquay.
Fuquay, and then Varina. Like Purina, but with a V.
Right. So why does it have a hyphenated name? Then we're going to talk about things that actually matter.
Yeah. They used to be two separate little towns. And then in the 60s, they merged.
Excellent.
Yep. So there's Fuquay, and then there's Varina.
So kind of a pregnancy story right there.
There you go.
Varina, a merger.
Two become one.
Become one.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. So thanks for sharing that story of when you were 11, ERA stuff going on. Yeah. That was Gloria Steinem on one side. And Phyllis Schlafly on the other side fighting that coast to coast. But that letter, I'm going to go, I'll dig that up because I want to find that out.
I still have that.
It's so powerful. The little child that was aborted writing a letter to its mom. And then coming out of that, of course, you were just a little 11-year-old girl. How do you go from that to Hand of Hope?
Well, so after I read that letter, it took a few days to digest it and try to figure out what did this really mean. I still have that letter. It's probably one of my most prized possessions. It really is. So I decided then and there after I read this, I remember asking my parents, what is this? Like, and how is this legal? And my next question was, what are y'all doing about it?
Yeah.
And I remember them saying, you know, well, it's legal. We talked about, you know, in the United States, not necessarily in North Carolina at that point in time. We've all learned a lot since then, right? So, I don't know that my parents knew about pregnancy centers then. So this was would have been in the 80s, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe 83, maybe.
It was early.
Mm-hmm. So early 80s. They probably didn't exist in North Carolina if they did. But anyway, so I remember then and there, over those next couple of days and weeks, that if I ever got pregnant, I would never do that. I would never end my child's life through abortion. I remember making that decision inside my heart. Yeah. I set that apart. And then I'm sure my parents were quite proud of that, you know, that, you know, this 11-year-old, you know, little girl, blah, blah, blah. They did raise me to, you know, save sex until marriage, and I didn't, like a lot of Christians do. So going back to it, knowing what I know now, like that was an admirable goal to set.
Yep, that was the goal.
However, you know, the foundational goal should have been to make that decision to, you know, save my body for my husband.
Right.
And I just did not make that decision. So fast forward a few years in my early 20s, I did find out that I was pregnant and definitely did not want to be pregnant. I mean, I was on birth control.
Yeah.
So, you know, Christians, we do a great job of hiding our sin. We just do. We're good at it.
We're good at it. Lots of practice.
Some of us are really good at it. So I found myself pregnant and not married and definitely did not want to be pregnant. And then so I was at a crossroads, really, because what's interesting about my story is I was actually in a clinic to get my birth control renewed when I found out that I was pregnant. I had no idea.
I didn't
have any pregnancy symptoms. It was early. And I remember making that doctor do three different tests. I'm like, no, girl, I'm not pregnant.
Right.
Like, that's not why I came here. I came here just to get the free condoms and the birth control. Right. Okay, just give that to me and let me go. And the final test she brought into the room and did it in front of me, performed the urine test in front of me. And I just was in shock.
Sure.
Just absolute shock. So, and that, in that situation, so I was 23 years old at the time. I wasn't 16. I wasn't 15. Not that that makes any difference at all. But the abortion industry, even as a 23-year-old woman, truly preyed on me, I believe now, with a few years of hindsight looking back on that, when I was in a very, very, very vulnerable position. Because this woman, I'm going in there, did not know I was pregnant, had no reason to suspect that I was pregnant. And in less than 5 minutes after the doctor telling me that I was pregnant, she sent me, another lady came to get me, and we walked out of the office, the exam room, and we went into like the weirdest little office. I remember exactly the way her desk was set up. I remember how my chair was. So I was like this, looking at her. And I thought immediately, it just unnerved me anyway.
Yeah.
And so she said to me, we can't get you in today, but we'll probably be able to get you in tomorrow morning because it's a really busy day. And she said a couple other things. And I said, are you talking about for an abortion?
Yeah.
And she said, yes. And it clicked right then. And I said, if all you're going to do is talk to me about an abortion, this conversation is over. And I got up and I walked out. Mm. And then I faced reality. because I was still in shock. I think I was in shock for a long time.
Of course.
And then so, I mean, it was honestly finding out I was there was not a single second of rest.
Right. Things are just moving.
For the life of my preborn child for a very, very, very long time because it became the abortion industry was coming after her immediately.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the money is. Yes.
It's the assumptive clothes.
Correct.
And we care about you. No, we care about your money.
Money, yeah.
And we want your money. Mm-hmm. And you're easily manipulated when you're emotional and you're in shock. And this and Planned Parenthood sells this so well
mm-hmm.
as the solution. And it's an easy solution. It's mm-hmm. just one visit.
Quick
everything
fix.
Will be fine. Lots of
right.
other women are doing it. Get on with your life. Quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that because that money's burning a hole in your pocket.
Right.
And it needs to be in theirs.
Their money was in my pocket.
That's right.
Exactly. And they
right.
wanted it.
And they wanted
yeah,
it.
At the price of my child.
That's right.
So, and then, so from there, then the conversation shifted to her biological father wanted me to have an abortion. It was an intense amount of pressure
yeah,
to abort.
Sure.
And that lasted for quite a few months.
And was it just the two of you involved in the conversation?
Not always. His mom, actually what's kind of sad with that is he is an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of us getting pregnant, his mom had confessed to him that she had had an abortion in her late 30s.
Wow. Well, hold that thought. We're up against the break.
Okay.
Talking to Tanya Baker Nelson, Hand of Hope, down in Fuquay Varina. We'll continue that story and talk about what do we do now that Roe is dead. We'll be right back. Bring your end up more. No, in there. Go over. Thanks.
I don't mind.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with my friend and a sister in Christ and a warrior in the cause of life. Tanya Baker Nelson is here, Hand of Hope. Pregnancy center down in Fuquay, Varina. Tanya, it's great having you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
Are you okay being in here? I mean, you know,
I'm great.
You got to hang out with me for an hour. That's
yeah,
not
I like you, Steve.
Thing.
You're my friend.
That's
I
good to
know.
Hear.
Yeah.
So you were sharing your story. 23, you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Boyfriend's family wants the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now that's really, if you didn't hear that in the last segment, Tanya was explaining. You find out you're pregnant, hard to believe, and then they immediately walk you into another room. Now you're a customer,
mm-hmm.
and they're immediately the assumptive close, we call it in the world of sales and marketing. I'm just going to assume you're buying, so I'm just going to, you know, sorry, we're too busy this afternoon, but we can get you in tomorrow morning. Just
right.
the assumption is you're coming back for an abortion.
Yes.
And then you're out of there, but now you're dealing with mm-hmm. all the other pressure. So,
right.
so where did this go from there?
Right. From there, it went to just her biological father was, it was a consistent, like, it's either me or her.
Yeah, wow.
You know, which we didn't know that she was a her at that time, mm-hmm. but I knew she was mine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's one of the things that we want to do at Hand of Hope. She knows she's pregnant with a baby.
Right.
She just hasn't made the connection that she's pregnant with her baby.
Mm.
So, and that's what we try to do in our centers.
Yeah.
You know, in all of them, like in Fuquay, in Raleigh, in Fayetteville, we try to make her make that connection yeah. with her baby.
What was the end result of that pregnancy?
The end result of that pregnancy was my precious little baby girl who is 26 years old
not so
now
little
and
anymore.
Not so little. My unplanned pregnancy just got married in July.
Yeah.
So, and it's, you know, it was a struggle. I was a single mom
and
for a while.
And the leaf doesn't fall far from the tree because your
oh,
husband is like this gentle, soft spoken.
He puts up a good facade.
Right. Well, I know.
Yeah.
But he's not quite as out there as you
he's
are.
He's not as loud.
Yes, thank you.
He's not as verbose
you
as
and
I am.
Right. You and I are both people that
yes.
we would purposely cut the muffler off the back of the car because we like the car to be
right, exactly.
loud.
Right, exactly. I want you to know I'm coming.
Yeah, and so yeah. and so is that, and then we'll talk about Roe and what do we do now. But
mm-hmm.
how often does the reality of that unplanned pregnancy that's now your beautiful married daughter,
mm-hmm.
how often does that just pop into your head?
all the time.
Yeah, gosh.
I mean, they, I have said multiple times, they're all my little girl to me.
Mm.
You know, she's me to me. There have been times where you're sitting there in the room talking to this woman, and you get some real big flashback memories, and like, oh gosh, I understand that. Especially if it's a dreary day.
Yeah.
It, you just get some flashback memories and say, baby, I have been there. I know. It was at the time, you know, it was. It sucked. It was not fun. But I had to go back to, is God who he says he is or isn't he? And
right.
as, because I was a believer when I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. Christians still sin.
Yes, thank you.
That's you know, right. So I was a believer when I got pregnant. And I had to ask myself, truly ask myself, do I believe in the sanctity of life or do I not? I remember vividly saying, like, God does not make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, my baby was never a mistake. God doesn't punish you with children.
Right, that's right.
That baby is always a blessing.
Which is what Obama said. Remember that when they
yes,
were talking
I do
to him
that.
About life?
Wouldn't, you know, wouldn't want to punish her with the baby.
I don't want her
yep.
punished with a baby.
Yeah, yes.
And
that
you call
is,
yourself a Christian, you obviously don't know the word.
Right,
but.
Yeah. And so a pregnancy is never a consequence. That a pregnancy is always intentional by the sovereign God, creator
yeah.
of the universe,
yeah.
who created your baby.
Yep, that's right.
So,
and we can't always make all those pieces fit together because what Satan intends for evil, God uses for good.
Mm-hmm.
And in our sin, we throw God all kinds of curveballs, but he hits every one of them for
mm-hmm.
his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to go, okay, you know, I got raped. Was that God's plan? Well, no, God doesn't plan for sin, but that baby in his sovereignty is part of the deal.
Right.
And so the arrival method, the arrival circumstances doesn't negate the fact that children are a blessing from the Lord.
Absolutely.
And so that's where you have to go. And what's it like dealing with moms and dads in some cases that are thinking about abortion? What's the main thing you try to do with them? And then we'll talk about Roe versus Wade.
The main thing that we do with them is we empower them to be able to choose life. So all that God stuff, I didn't want to hear about that when I was
yeah.
pregnant with her, right? She doesn't really want to hear about that. I mean, we don't minimize God
right,
in that
sure.
at all, but we don't have these deep theological conversations.
Right. We're not going to lead with the gospel, and if you died today.
Right, exactly. We give the gospel its
sure.
place. Yeah,
right, of course.
So. But what she needs to know and what he needs to know right then is, how are you going to help me?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to help me? And so that's why we use the power of the ultrasound to introduce that mom and that dad to their baby.
Wow.
And then we educate them. When I was in my situation, nobody sat down and said, hey, this is what an abortion is. This is what's going to happen to your body. This is what's going to happen to your baby's body. Even from a strictly scientific medical standpoint, they didn't give that to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's informed consent. Thankfully, North Carolina does have that now. But nobody, they just were, you know, it was
yeah.
transactional.
Well,
I wouldn't hurry up.
Planned Parenthood doesn't want you to see. They don't want you to hear. They
right.
don't want you to know.
Exactly.
And really, their main use for an ultrasound is figure out how far along you are so that they can, essentially, in the cell way I explain it, my ethics classes with my high school students, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you want to buy a steak, what do they do with the steak behind the counter before they give it to you? They throw it on the scale to see how much it weighs so they can figure out how much they're going to charge you.
That's
and they need to know how
right.
far along you are with an abortion clinic
mm-hmm.
in order to figure out how much to charge you,
that
depending
is,
on how far along
that
you
are. That is 100%
That is
correct.
The darkness and the depravity of it. And so, yeah, overcoming, I can't afford it. It's not the right time. The dad's not involved. Whatever the case may be, as the church and concerned neighbors, we need to have an answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you can't kill your baby. Yeah, I think ultimately they know that it's their baby. I think most of the polling in the last 5 years has shown about 80% of the moms, like if the dad's on board, like in your case, if it didn't matter because you were strong enough. But a lot of moms are like, if the dad's on board, I'm in. But
correct.
He's not,
yes.
so I'm out. And then they make the decision.
Right.
So did you want to add something to that? Then I want to
well,
talk
I was going to say, because that follows God's design for family.
Thank you very much.
That's why she's more likely to choose
yes.
life if dad is on board, because
that's the
guess
way it
what?
Works.
Yes, exactly.
That's the way
God
it was designed.
Designs for family.
So
yep.
I actually didn't think I'd see Roe fall in my lifetime. Did you?
Yes.
Oh, you of great faith and me of little faith.
Let me tell you something. A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, she's actually one of our life coaches in one of our centers. She called me shortly after, and she said, Tanya, I've heard you speak, you know, numerous times, and you would always say, Roe has to go. Roe will fall one day. Trust me. She said, I got to admit to you that every time you said that, I always said, girl, it ain't happening.
Right. Roll your eyes.
Yeah. You keep praying, but girl, it ain't happening. And I was like, really? Because I never picked up on that from her. She said, yeah. She said, so as soon as it fell, she said, the first thing I thought was, Tanya was right.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, learning about Roe as an 11-year-old,
yeah.
I went to the library and found out, like, how did this happen? I wanted to know, how did this become legal in the United States?
Yeah.
So I've been researching this forever. I mean, ever read Roe, just read it. And then if you've ever read the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, the word privacy is not even in the 14th Amendment.
That's right. They found implied.
So anyway, thankfully, Roe is dead. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It is dead.
So what does that do? We're talking to Tanya Baker Nelson, by the way. The website is handofhope.net here in the Triangle area of North Carolina, specifically down in Fuquay and also down in Fayetteville now. Handofhope.net is the website. So what do we do now? We got about a minute and a half. We'll hit the break, and then we have the whole final segment. But what do we do now? When this fell, were you like, you had a change in mind, a change in direction? Is it like, okay, now we have to adjust? Or what does that do to you as somebody running a resource center?
Nothing about what we did changed. We just got busier. I mean, it fell and we were like, let's go, baby.
Yeah.
Here we go. Something did shift the, as a believer, what I could tell in our centers and then in other centers across the country too, is from a believer's point of view, Satan knows his time is short.
Yeah.
So something shifted. I mean, the fight for life just got that much harder.
Yeah.
When they were saying, like, oh, now the real fight begins, I'm like, baby, we've been doing this a long time. Like, we've been in this fight for a while, you know. So nothing about what we did changed, because I feel like we've been doing a pretty good job of, I'm not saying we can't improve.
Sure, of course.
We just got busier because North Carolina, I don't know if you knew this or not, but North Carolina was the number one state in the union for abortion growth. It increased 37% in North Carolina. California
over
abortions
what period of time?
Since Roe.
Yeah, so it's like, and I thought, and you mentioned that the night of the fundraiser,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, we're like a sandals destination.
Correct.
A destination vacation for abortion. That's what North Carolina is. Mm-hmm. It's like sandals. So, mm-hmm. hey, you need an abortion. And then, of course, we have corporations, California and others, that are now willing, all expenses paid trip. We'll take care of it for you. That's what we're up against. It's more difficult. How do we handle it? What do we do as individual believers? Handofhope.net. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about the issue of life today on the heels of Roe versus Wade back in June. And so what do we do now? And so my friend Tanya Baker Nelson's back in the house. Handofhope.net is the website. Hand of Hope Pregnancy Centers down in Fuquay and Fayetteville. Any other locations on the horizon, or you're just plowing those fields right
yep,
now?
Yep. We have two in Raleigh.
Wow. So yep. You're busy. How many mm-hmm. women are you guys seeing on a monthly basis?
Gosh. It's a lot. Well, we... on a monthly basis, it's going to be, what did I say at the bank? How many people did we serve? Like, well, we gave like 1,200 ultrasounds.
Yeah.
So
busy.
Yeah.
In North Carolina, back to that stat for people in North Carolina, we are one of the fastest growing abortion states in the union since Roe versus Wade, up what? Did you say 37%?
37%. We are the fastest growing
abortion
state. Yeah,
because other places in the Southeast, other states have restricted or shut it down. And so our doors are wide open. Thank you, Governor Cooper. Mm-hmm. You better repent. And the Republicans can't do anything about it. They got a supermajority in the Senate, not in the House, so we can't override his vetoes. There's mm-hmm. a couple of sneaky ways around that. We'll see if they actually have the backbone to do it. Tim Moore, I just said your name, so I hope you hear this. And then, but what do we do? What do you do at a crisis pregnancy center, at a resource center? What do we do now? Because I think we have to really lean into this. And I think you want the ball, man, in the middle of the game. You want the ball. Now you got the ball.
Right.
And so what are we going to do with it? So how do we proceed?
Yeah, we proceed until we make abortion unthinkable. until
like
we...
Like you were when thought of it when you were 11.
Right, exactly. Until we get to the place where the culture has shifted so hard towards life that abortion becomes unthinkable. You have to remember, which I know you understand this, we're 50 years into, it's not just my friends who've had abortions, it's my friends' grandmothers who have had abortions.
Oh, yeah, multi-generational.
So, and by and large, most of us don't share that with anybody, especially Christians. If you're a Christian, you don't share that you've had an abortion or you've paid for an abortion. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell, because there is nothing that Jesus Christ does not forgive, and that includes abortion.
That's right.
And as Christians, we need to, you know, clang that cymbal loud and long.
Yeah, if you're a believer and you have abortion in your past, as disturbing as the death of a child is, or the blood of that child, it's nowhere near as powerful as the blood of Jesus Christ. That's dealt with already.
Yes.
If you're not in Christ, if that sounds like a foreign language to you, then you have to understand the gospel, because what's waiting for you there is complete and total and irrevocable forgiveness of even an abortion. So if you're out there and it sounds like we're talking a little bit French or Spanish or Pig Latin right now, this is the only time I ever bring up my website, because there's a page there that's called Heaven. You'll see it right at the top of the page. Just go there, thestevenobleshow.com. Click on Heaven and you'll explain. You'll be able to understand exactly what we're talking about. But you have to make it unthinkable. And the interesting thing about, because we're not science deniers, are we? Is that science has actually helped. 3D ultrasound has helped.
Yes.
Biologists know that at the moment of conception, that's a human being. It's human DNA. It's all the DNA you have today, Tanya, you got when you were conceived.
Mm-hmm.
And so science is screaming the reality of what God already told us in his word. And I think more and more people are coming around to that. They're not where they need to be yet, because you still have a majority of Americans that don't want abortion to be illegal. But it's moving in the right direction.
I agree. You want to be there for a man and a woman who find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy, and give them tangible resources that will empower them to choose life. For us, what that looks like is, number one, that the pregnancy test, and then following that, obviously, the ultrasound.
Yeah.
And then followed up from the ultrasound is the mentoring. Like, we mentor these young parents for up to 3 years.
Wow.
And just walk through this, because as Christians, we're very good about saying, oh, the Bible says this, and the right thing for you to do is this. Okay, well, help me do that.
Yeah, hello.
Help me do that. You know, when Jesus left the earth, he said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, oh, the disciples are going to make themselves.
Right.
Like, go and make them. And that takes time.
What are usually the biggest reasons that most of the women that you guys see at Hand of Hope are going to abort? They can't afford it. Bad timing. I already have two kids from three dads. What's common? Because you have to identify that. And then there's ways to overcome all of that.
Right. It's pressure from the father of the baby is the number one reason.
Wow.
The father of the baby wants her to abort. And then second to that is her mother wants her to abort.
Wow.
That's going to be your biggest pressures. Like, rich
neither
people.
Neither one of them is in the room when she actually has the abortion. It's her decision.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. We do see a fair amount of fathers who don't want their girlfriends or wives to abort. And they have no legal recourse whatsoever.
None.
I mean, I have two sons.
They should.
They absolutely should. She didn't get pregnant by herself.
That's
you know,
right.
I have two sons. I would be devastated to think that my two sons had no legal say over their unborn child if they were not married to their child's
that's
mother.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just sad. You know, and then that goes back to the foundational, okay, well, baby, don't put yourself in that situation. But, you know, it is what it is. So money, you hear that from everybody. Rich people got problems just like poor people
do, right?
You know, money, I mean, that's across the board with everything. And like, I can't afford a baby. Well, like, what's can't afford?
Mm-hmm.
Like, define afford to me. I get it. Like, you know, for me, it was definitely, I'm going to have to pay for this child.
Yep.
How
yep.
do I do that? Well, I worked three jobs as a single mom and didn't have a cell phone and didn't get my nails done and, you know, didn't have cable and paid my rent 1 month and paid my light bill the next month. I mean, you do what you got to do.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you prioritize what's important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in this culture where we live today, like, you know, especially some of the younger, this younger generation coming up, they want everything like this.
Sure, of course.
So that's been our challenge, is what we have seen since Roe is she finds out that she's pregnant. She had a positive pregnancy test last night, and she calls and she says, I need an ultrasound today. Okay, baby.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You, I mean, you're just like, you know, 4 weeks pregnant. Let me, you know, explain to you how human anatomy works, you know, gestational development. So there's that challenge for sure. And of course we would see her. We would get her in here. Let's see. You never know. Her dates could be wrong. You never know. Mm-hmm. So how we meet that is really educating women on what an abortion actually is. What are some of the risks, physical, emotional, spiritual risks from having an abortion, as well as educating and empowering that dad on the same thing, because it is his baby.
That's
too.
Right. That's right.
And we want him to be involved in the process just as quickly as we can get him involved in the process.
Right. Well, and that educational part is so important. You know, my wife Gina, who became a licensed ultrasound tech back in May, she's worked as a counselor at pregnancy resource centers for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing when she shares stories, just what people don't know. And then just to educate them, okay, you're not far along enough yet, and you still have options if you wait. And most people, and again, back to your point earlier on, it's such an emotional oven that you just want to deal with it right here and right now, but you don't have anybody walking with you. When you're emotional, you don't have the sound reason going on in your body. You need it from somebody else, which is why when you go to like a place like Hand of Hope, okay, we're gonna bring the voice of reason in here and help you make a decision and empower you. I love that word. A lot of people will get triggered by empowerment. But that's what they need. They need to be reminded and shown that you actually can do this, and we're not asking you to do it alone. And I think that's the challenge of the church. I mean, We should have a church. We should have a sign in front of every real church in America that says, just like Jesus, you know, hey, bring me all your trouble.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pregnant, if you have an unplanned pregnancy, come here, because we'll walk through this with you for the next several years.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the message from us, shouldn't it?
It absolutely should be. Christians should, you know, the golden rule has such power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just act like it's you.
Yeah.
Act like it's you, or act like it's your daughter, act like it's your son. How would you want them to be treated?
Yeah.
How would you want them to be helped?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want to do? Like, nobody needs like guilt and shame heaped on them.
They heap enough guilt and shame on themselves
as it is. They want to know, how are you going to help me?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have those, everything we do is free. We don't charge for anything. So we can say to her and to him with no inkling of doubt or deception, hey, we're here for you regardless of the choice you make, because we're not making any money off your decision.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, we're here because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us.
Yeah, we care about you. We don't care about your checkbook.
Right, exactly. And so we want you to know Jesus the way we know Jesus. You know, that's your decision to make.
Yeah.
She can have an abortion because it is still legal in North Carolina. That's also her decision to make.
Yeah, that's right.
But we're going to welcome her regardless of the choice, because guess what? When she does choose abortion, she calls us.
Mm-hmm.
She calls us, and we want her to call us.
Some healing.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
We walk through that with her, even if she does choose abortion, because that's who Jesus is. Because Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, died for you, knowing you were going to choose abortion anyway.
Anyway, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Absolutely.
Isn't that powerful?
It absolutely is powerful, and we need to know that. So, obviously, we wouldn't give her, like, say, oh, it's okay, because it's not okay.
Right.
We don't condone it, and it's never okay.
Yep.
But that's the reality of where we live.
Yeah, and that goes back to the gospel, fully known and fully loved.
Amen.
Despite what's known. I mean, that's the power of it.
We
just got about a minute. How can people get involved? How can we help you, Tanya?
Well, I would love for you to help me. So, like, handofhope.net is a great place to start. We're on Facebook, on Instagram, Hand of Hope Pregnancy Resource Centers, I believe, because they wouldn't let us change the name after we
volunteer, fund,
volunteer,
get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you people know, social media, whatever, that you know people that can help when there's an unplanned pregnancy.
Right.
That's why we got that flashing light.
Yeah.
If this is you, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to condemn you. We're going to help you.
Right.
So come to us, because we're going to walk with you on this.
They can text. If you want to text PRAY to join our prayer team, PRAY to 919-577-9050.
That's awesome. Hand of Hope. Tanyabakernelson.net is the website. Tanya Baker Nelson, thanks for coming in, sis. Always great to see
thanks,
you.
Steve.
God bless
Appreciate
you. Thank
it.
You for
you
everything
too.
You do.
Thank you.
This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing, probably talking about
another program powered by the Truth Network.